So I am happy to be here to talk a little bit about what I consider sort of the last phase of a much bigger project that I've been focusing on mental health and the pathways to unintended pregnancy. So I want to acknowledge my co-authors from the University of Michigan. I have no disclosures. So we know that mental health conditions are prevalent among young women, and in fact, they're among the leading cause of disability and morbidity worldwide, so conditions like depression and anxiety. Stress, however, is even more common and contributes to morbidity and mortality. So there's a large, important body of research looking at the role of stress in shaping physiological dysfunction, psychological dysfunction, as it contributes to negative health outcomes, such as chronic disease and, in particular, cardiovascular disease. We know that chronic stress and its biological and psychological consequences can result from adverse social circumstances, so things like exposure to violence, social discrimination, economic marginalization, and other stressful life events. And like I said, contribute to poor biological health outcomes and then shape health disparities. So minority women and economically disadvantaged women are more likely to experience these stressful life events. However, there's been relatively little attention to mental health and in particular stress in reproductive health research. Some of you may have seen me present in the past on the role of stress and depression in the pathways to unintended pregnancy, so in contraceptive and sexual behavior. And there's some interesting work historically looking at the role of depression and anxiety in risky sexual behavior. And then on the flip side, the majority of work focused on mental health and reproductive health has really looked at the perinatal and postpartum period. So, and even less research has actually considered the social context of mental health and the social context of stress that may not only shape the mental health outcomes, but also the reproductive health outcomes. And I'm interested in unintended pregnancy during adolescence and young adulthood. So here's an article not too long ago in the New York Times that draws our attention to this, the issue of social status and stress. And so it talks about the health vulnerabilities of socially disadvantaged men and women in the U.S. And this article does a nice job of emphasizing the important work that's been done on cardiovascular outcomes. But not to my knowledge has similar research focused on reproductive outcomes. And actually, that's not true. There's been a little bit of work on stress in the perinatal period, so the role of stress in stillbirth, miscarriage, and other perinatal adverse outcomes. So here is two conceptual models, which I've been using to think about the ways in which stress may influence unintended pregnancy. So I'm looking at it from the other end of the spectrum, right? Not after pregnancy, although I'm interested in that too. But this is an adaptation of Bongard's proximate determinants of fertility model, and then it's sort of overlaid with Perlin's stress process model. So you can see the proximate determinants of fertility are pretty clear, right? Sexual behavior, contraceptive behavior, and then fecundity, which is the biological determinant. And so my other work, in fact using these same data, has looked at the role of stress in increased sexual activity each week, the role of stress in adverse contraceptive behaviors, so contraceptive non-use, contraceptive discontinuation, contraceptive misuse, and less effective method use. And I say I'm emphasizing stress a bit because it seems to have had, in my previous research, the stronger impact as compared to depression. And then so you can see how over here we have the distal determinants that shape both mental health and then our distal determinants of unintended pregnancy too. And so there's a whole host of distal determinants, and today I'm just focusing on one, which is social discrimination. So to understand whether or not social discrimination may impact mental health symptoms, which may then impact unintended pregnancy risk, we conducted a study using data from the Relationship Dynamics and Social Life Study. We call RDSL. Jennifer Barber's the PI. And this is a population-based longitudinal cohort study of nearly 1,000 women in Michigan. So women were contacted via personal identification card and driver's license. So it's population-based sampling approach. I'm focused on 794 women here who completed 18 months of data and over 30,000 weekly journals. We call them journals, but surveys. So I'm going to skip this slide and show you just a diagram of the study design. So when women were consented, they participated in a baseline interview. So women were ages 18 and 19 at enrollment because we really wanted to capture the transition to young adulthood. So you can see that at baseline, we collected a whole host of important childhood characteristics, such as family dynamics, family background characteristics, and socioeconomic status. And then we also asked them about their adolescent experience. So had they had sex before, what types of partners they'd had, their contraceptive histories, and then their pregnancy histories. So that was all collected in an in-person baseline interview about 60 minutes long. And then women were invited to participate in the weekly journal study, which is a survey study that we conducted online. So every week women got five-minute journals surveys online for a 2.5-year period. So today I'm going to focus on the first 18 months of data because we had extremely high response rates. And so during the journal surveys, women were asked a series of questions about dynamic aspects of their lives. So their relationship dynamics, their partner changes, their sexual activity each week, their contraceptive use each week, and then their pregnancy desires and intentions, and then pregnancy outcomes. And so in the baseline survey, we had administered standardized mental health tools, so the Center for Epidemiologic Depression Scale and then the Perceived Stress Scale. So those were just administered at baseline. And then at baseline and time-varying journals, quarterly journals, we asked about social discrimination. So we used the David Williams Everyday Discrimination Scale. So here are our sample characteristics at baseline. As I mentioned, they were 18 and 19 years old. The majority of women were white. However, we had a substantial proportion of black women. Over half of women had had received some college education. About half were employed, although a quarter of women, just over a quarter, were receiving some form of public assistance. Religious participation was not uncommon. The majority of women were in a relationship. Early coitarchy at age 14 years or less was reported among 20% of women. And then prior pregnancies, a quarter of women, so these are a quarter of 18 and 19-year-olds reported having already experienced a teen pregnancy. So here we have the proportion of women who reported moderate to high social discrimination. So this was using a cutoff score, which is, captures about one standard deviation above the mean score on the discrimination scale. And so you can see 20% of women reported having moderate to high social discrimination. And poor women, women with a prior history of pregnancy, and women with stress and depressed symptoms had higher rates of social discrimination than their counterparts. And you can see that being black versus non-black was not associated with having higher discrimination rates. So here we have the unintended pregnancy rates at 18 months. And so 14% of women became pregnant over the first 18 months of the study. And you can see that pregnancy rates were twice as high among women who perceived moderate to high discrimination, and they were also higher among women who reported stress and depressed symptoms. And the stress and depressed symptoms are also using a cutoff, so it's moderate to high stress and depressed symptoms. So here is sort of a DAG to represent the relationships from the multivariable models. So we used a series of hazard models as well as multi-level mixed effects models to control for the longitudinal nature of the data, multi-level nature of the data. So the line in the center shows that women who had moderate to high discrimination were almost twice as likely in the models to experience unintended pregnancy over the study, and they were also over twice as likely to report depression and stress symptoms. And then in the multivariable models, stress, as I previously mentioned, was associated with unintended pregnancy as well. So in conclusion, discrimination was associated with unintended pregnancy risk. It was also associated with mental health symptoms. And the strongest predictor of perceiving social discrimination was having a prior unintended pregnancy or adolescent pregnancy. So I think that this has some important implications for future research and certainly has informed my own current and future research. Certainly we need to be focusing on the biological piece. So there's an interesting body of work, and probably you are familiar with it, that looks at the role of stress and infertility among women in the later life years and among women who are trying to get pregnant. But there's been a couple of interesting studies looking at younger women in normal estradiol environments. So these are young, healthy women who are at sort of the peak of their reproductive life years, and there looks like there's no effect of stress, or there might be an exacerbated effect of stress, so a quicker time to pregnancy. And I didn't show the data here, but I've looked at some time to pregnancy analysis, and I'm finding that there's a trend in that direction here. So I think that there might be something with the biological consequences of stress happening for unintended pregnancy. The effects might be small, though. And then, of course, the mechanisms by which discrimination influences unintended pregnancy. There's some interesting work by Bird and Bungartz looking at the ways in which discrimination and stigma might influence contraceptive access and use of reproductive health services. So I'm really focusing a bit on that, especially even in global context. And again, the stigma of adolescent pregnancy. So the idea that it wasn't the black women in the study who were feeling discriminated against, it was the women who'd already become pregnant as teenagers. And then I think that this begs, like I said, some challenging our conceptual conceptualizations of discrimination, that it might be a broader range of experiences that young women encounter that that have a stigma attached to them and discrimination attached to them. Thank you.